Hello, and welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and as usual, I'm joined on the front porch by my neighbor and colleague in neighboring, Adam Barlow Thompson.
Hello, good neighbors. We are excited to have you today for a episode of just Matt and I, you know, shooting the breeze.
No.
Oh, that's not what we're doing? I can't just say whatever I want?
You can't just say whatever you want. I mean, because I'm just afraid if people hear that, they're like, oh, okay, I'm skip to the next. What's my other podcast I could listen to today?
Well, what is the compelling content that we're bringing to our listeners then here?
Well, and it is compelling because we have been doing some, I think some really great work looking at the direction that we want to take in 2020. Mm-hmm. And it occurred to us that this would be something worth sharing with our podcast listeners. And so today we're just going to talk through some of the plans that we have for 2020. And not only the plans that we have, but a little bit of why we're doing these things. And then how, in terms of how our listeners can be a part of what's going on.
And we're going to do something I think this is the first time we've really done where we spend the whole episode talking about our actual nonprofit and the way that it works.
True.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
I don't think so.
Yeah. So the neighboring movement is a nonprofit. And I mean, our goal is to help people be good neighbors. And so the podcast is a part of that. Mm-hmm. And as we, you know, reach the end of the year, we've been doing some strategic planning and visioning about what happens next. And we, you know, we're 4.5 years into this thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's the first time that we have had some clarity about what happens next. Because when you start something new, it's hard to plan a whole year in advance.
Yes.
It's basically like, how are we going to survive next month? And if so, what should we do? Right. That's how we've been going for a while now.
That's right. And if we don't survive, what should we do?
Get jobs. That's what we should do. But now we have kind of a foundation where we're like, okay, there's enough financial support. There's enough momentum here that we're going to be around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So who are we? Mm-hmm. It was kind of the first question.
Yeah.
And what should we do?
Yeah.
So the who are we? Let's start with that.
Okay. So... And the way that I was thinking about that question is like, what is it that we're called to do?
Yeah.
Right? Like, because the way really that we would put that into words is that we're called to find this way that leads towards wholeness.
Right. And wholeness, that word, is important to us. In our founding belief, which we came up with 5 years ago, is that all people are gifted. And when they use their gifts, the community gets better, and they experience wholeness.
That's right. That's
which right. we did use that back then, and it's kind of stuck with us. And so when we said, who are we, and like, what are we called to, wholeness kind of became the rallying cry.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So,
yeah.
So what is that, though, Matt?
All right.
Here's my
concise answer.
I'm really genuinely asking him because we've not really clearly defined it yet.
Yes, so that's right.
I'm excited that this is going out and becoming the official answer.
Yes, yes. All right. So here's what I want you to visualize is that as a person, we kind of have this surface of interaction. Mm-hmm. So on our surface, we have... some scars, and we have kind of the masks that we wear in our everyday life. And that's just how we kind of get through the world. Underneath that is this wholeness. And you see it in people. We started using that word wholeness because when we would ask people to talk about their dreams for their lives or the things that they love to do, this light comes into their eyes, and they're like touching on this sense of wholeness when they talk about it. So that wholeness, it's not the facade, it's not the mask that we wear, but it's that kind of deeper part of who we are. And we see it show up in neighboring because when we start to connect with the people around us that live literally around us, we also start to experience a deeper connection, that I'm not just an isolated person but I am connected to the people who live around me. Our well-being is right. connected to each other. Mm-hmm. They have gifts where I have needs, and I have gifts where they have needs. So there's this exchange that happens.
Right.
It's not manipulative, though. It's supportive.
Yeah.
And so there's this sense of connection.
Right.
And it is language that comes out of spiritual traditions.
Yes.
And right. not just Christianity, right? This,
yeah.
This, and that's where we could talk for 3 hours about
yeah.
that, because everybody from Buddha to Jesus is going to illuminate that in different ways. But for us, it's just knowing that as a society, we're so fragmented. So when I think mm-hmm. about that surface, there's all these divisions, and, you know, I'm a Republican, you're a Democrat.
Right.
I believe this, you believe that. We can't get along.
Right.
And those beliefs are important. It's just that there's a deeper wholeness.
Yeah.
Where actually I am connected.
And this is a big shift for us as a nonprofit, because we've kind of officially named now that our goal is not actually neighboring.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is wholeness. And we think neighboring is an excellent tool to get us there. And
yeah.
for us, within that definition, then, the guiding principles, kind of the things that help us know we are doing that, is when we're creating abundance, relationship, and joy, mm-hmm. which we talk about all the time and even have full episodes dedicated to. And you can go back and listen to them. So don't forget to listen to all the episodes of The Neighbor Next Door. It's how you find wholeness.
Well, maybe not. Maybe not.
People are going to write back on that one, I'm pretty sure.
Some pushback, even from our mom.
So what we are called to is seeking out that wholeness. So we have a couple ways that we're going to make that happen, or that become tangible for us. And they're really based on what I would say, like, are the platforms in which that we work. So one of them is here in SoCe, our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is within the kind of world of the church. And those two we've been holding in balance for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2020, we've become more clear about what we want to do in each of those spaces.
Yes. And you say hold them in balance, but I would even say hold them in tension. But let's talk first of all. I won't get into the word tension yet.
Oh God!
but let's talk about then what we're going to try to do. And these are experiments.
They are. I mean, it's all been an experiment.
Well, yes, yeah. yes, that's right. That's right.
We're just better at the experiments now than we were. Blow up less things.
We blow up less things. Also, we know they're experiments. I don't know if we really understood
true.
That to begin
that's
with.
That's true.
So in our neighborhood, you know. We know, and we've talked in great length on this podcast about the benefits of neighboring mm-hmm. on a community. The social health of a community can really be impacted when people
right.
actually know their neighbors. And it helps unlock, I think, some of the power of a neighborhood when people are getting to know each other
right.
and being invited to share their gifts. And we had a bit of an aha moment that in our own neighborhood, we have not really tried to promote neighboring
right
in a real specific way.
Yeah, we've done it through mm-hmm. our own relationships and through relationships of people we know in our neighborhood. Like, it's expanded naturally that way.
Mm-hmm.
But we've not had a concerted effort to help the whole neighborhood be good neighbors.
Right, right. So in 2020, we're going to launch what we're currently calling it the Eight Front Door Project.
Which, if you can think of a better name, we're open.
Yeah, because that one doesn't roll off the tongue.
No, it doesn't. It's too many syllables, I think.
It's a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
Okay, so tell us what that's going
to
be.
So basically, I mean, you've heard us say probably before, if you've listened to this podcast, that one of the ways you could start is thinking about scale. And the scale that we've found to be most helpful for people is to think of the people who live in the eight front doors closest to your own front door. And that's about 20 people,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it so, like, it's not overwhelming for people, and it's very visual. You can actually usually imagine those front doors because you spend a lot of time at your house. You see them out your windows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And most likely there's at least one or two people in that group that you already have some type of, they're either an acquaintance or you at least maybe wave to them or you know something about them. Even if you don't know their name, you know that they garden or that they drive a blue truck or whatever, you know something about them.
So they don't, becomes, they don't roll back their trash bins.
What? Come on, Matt.
Oh, you said blue truck.
I'll take it back when I go home. Okay. I got to get off the front porch first. So the objective of the 8 Front Door Project mm-hmm. is every resident in SoCe, which is our neighborhood, would understand that concept and potentially try to go and know the people in the 8 Front Doors closest to their own. Mm-hmm. And so we haven't worked out all the details of that, but at this point, we're imagining an educational kind of program with that, that we would be sending like a series of direct mail that includes like a block map, why we think neighboring is important, how it impacts the community, defining what we think SoCe really is, not mm-hmm. the geography of it, but actually like the quality of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have actually hired someone who will be on the podcast soon to kind of champion this project.
Mm-hmm.
And he is like this amazingly courageous and charismatic person who can help neighbors who maybe are a little intimidated overcome that hurdle.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just creates this social fabric,
right?
Another podcast episode that you can go back and listen to, of people who know each other and start prioritizing knowing their neighbor as kind of a cultural norm mm-hmm. within our neighborhood.
That's right.
That's what's going to happen.
Yes.
All in 2020.
It's going to start in 2020. And it's an experiment.
It is an experiment. Yeah. And then the part that trickles down from that is we hope that we will start identifying other people who are key leaders who have a similar kind of understanding of what it means to be a good neighbor mm-hmm. and that we would invite them into deeper education and deeper learning about how they could expand that. In ways that make sense for them.
Yes. So, yeah.
Using their gifts.
That's right. Their gifts and also the gifts of the neighborhood. Because always for us, what we want to find are those people who care about the neighborhood. And then we're hoping that we can equip them with this idea of asset-based community development. So they say, well, I care about the neighborhood and there's this problem. The alleys need to be cleaned up more often.
Yeah.
And we say, we agree, like I agree. What assets do we have? What resources do we have in the neighborhood, including individuals and businesses mm-hmm. and institutions? What could we bring together to help address that problem?
Right.
And so then they can facilitate and lead that effort because it's something they care about. They're using the assets of the neighborhood and they can make a difference.
Right. And there's other things going on in our neighborhood too, but that's kind of the big 2020 project. That's the one that we're lifting up as the one we're going to be paying most attention to.
Right.
And when we work in our neighborhood, and this is something that, again, has been part of who we are the whole time, we are good neighbors in our neighborhood. And without that, we have no integrity. Because
I mean, I still have some integrity. No,
you have none. You have none, Matt.
I still have some integrity. I don't know what you do with the rest of your time.
Well, what I should say is it gives us integrity to have a voice outside of our neighborhood when it comes to neighboring.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Within that particular context, which moves us to the second kind of place that we want to neighbor. Neighboring movement is like when you're trying to start a fire, like at a campfire.
Yeah.
You know? And like you got a little spark going, mm-hmm. but it's not like hot all the way yet.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're the ones that just come alongside and just kind of I hope that comes across to the podcast. You know, where you just blow on it.
Oh, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We are the wind.
Yes.
That helps the spark become a flame.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so we are, for the first time, mm-hmm. we're ambitiously setting our goals to make the neighboring movement a national thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is kind of scary.
It is. It's scary. It's also really exciting, though.
It is exciting.
And yeah. It's exciting because it's out there. I mean, we're bumping into people in Wichita.
Yes.
we're bumping into people in other places who are saying, you know, I have been trying this, or here's what we did and here's what happened. And they're just affirming this idea that it really is a movement. Mm-hmm. It's not us. And so when we talk about being national, it really is seeking to connect on a national level.
Right.
Where it's places where it's already happening, and to share those stories. And
right.
Man, that is exciting to me.
I know it is. And I mean, we've always positioned ourselves as we are the connectors. Mm-hmm. We're not the ones who own it. We're just the connectors. And we've been doing that in our own neighborhood, and we're just trying to put that on a national level now. Yeah. So there's a couple of different ways that we're doing that. You want to mm-hmm. introduce the first?
Yeah. So the first one is personally very exciting to me. We're going to write a book about the neighboring movement.
Yeah. And when's the whole manuscript due by?
I think it's mid-July 2020.
No.
We're gonna have some conversation about the deadline that you put. Adam thinks we can have this book written by January 1st.
Well, and Matt and I, you know, we have different paces.
If they've listened to more than one episode, I bet they can tell that. They're like, yeah, I bet so.
But it is exciting. We have a book that we've started writing already. Mm-hmm. I'm excited about the direction of it. And it basically, it's going to have a lot of the same stories that we share in the podcast.
Yeah.
But then in a hopefully more thought out way.
That's right. That's why we're not going to rush it.
Dang it. Take
a little extra time. But yeah, now I do want to, this is where the word tension mm-hmm. comes back in, mm-hmm. Because we're talking about a national movement, but our target audience is Christians.
Yes.
So tell everyone why we went that route.
Well, I mean, part of it is it's who we are. I mean, mm-hmm. I joke about like, oh, I used to be a pastor.
Right.
But I still actually kind of am. So I'm still ordained in the Methodist Church. And we do not care if you as a listener are a Christian. And that's not our priority, is to try to get people to be Christians. That's not the goal of mm-hmm. the neighboring movement.
Right.
And we think that the place where the Christian community in America is, it's in decline, it's struggling, there's a lot of conflict within it.
Mm-hmm.
And neighboring and a Christian approach to neighboring brings hope to the church in a way that feels authentic to my own faith and my own calling to find sacred wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a part of why we're doing that. So the book comes out of a Christian perspective. The target audience for that is imagined to be a Christian.
That's right. So. That's right. And so the reason we hold that intention is, as we've said before, our own spiritual tradition guides us towards this type of neighboring where we care mm-hmm. about the people that live around us. But in our neighborhood, if I go back to the Eight Front Door Project, there's nothing there about you that you have to be a Christian.
No.
There's nothing, there's no hidden agenda of now come to our church. That's just not part of it.
We're doing that because it literally will make the whole neighborhood better.
Right.
Whether or not you go to church or become a Christian,
yeah,
it will make our whole neighborhood better.
That's right. We know
that.
Yes. So I just want to hold that out, because if there's a neighbor listening to this podcast, I want them to know, mm-hmm. right? When you start hearing from us about the Eight Front Door Project, don't be afraid. There's no mm-hmm. hidden agenda.
Yeah.
And then when it comes to this national movement, we're simply living into the opportunities that we have.
Right.
Because we're networked through the United Methodist Church.
Right.
We have potential publishers that are Christian publishing houses.
Yeah.
And I think churches can lead the way in their communities, showing like, yeah, it matters that we care about our neighbors.
Right.
Like, this is part of who we are. Right. So,
yeah. And so the book becomes a way of opening a lot of potential doors for us, because mm-hmm. when you are a published author, you get different invitations than when you're two guys on a podcast.
What opportunities have we gotten because of this podcast?
I'll come back around on that.
You think about that one.
Yeah. But we're hoping that the book will give us opportunities to be speakers in more places. We hope that being speakers in more places will give us opportunity to know you know, more influential people who could be guests on the podcast. And every time we speak, we'd be able to share the podcast and share the neighboring tips and, you know, continue to generate more people who are excited about neighboring.
Yeah.
So that's really what it's about, is the book helps us get onto that platform where we could then share in a wider place.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the goals. Those are the two big highlights for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also be maintaining all the other stuff we've been doing.
That's right. Yeah. So. Yeah. The neighboring tips and the podcast and work in the neighborhood and connecting dots.
So I think we should close by what you, the listener, can do.
Yes.
To help with the neighboring movement.
That's right.
Yeah.
So obviously, this is a really ambitious plan for 2020.
It means that our staff has to be bigger than just Matt and I.
That's right.
Which is the first time we've really needed that.
Yeah. Yeah. We kind of needed it this year, and we were able to hire Christopher and Lydia through the AmeriCorps Vista program, which means that it doesn't cost us a lot.
No.
But we really want to see that expanded.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I just mean hire them not as Vistas, but as
employees
who are making a reasonable wage.
Yeah.
We also have hired Karen Rice Ratzliff, and
who will be in some podcast episodes.
That's right, coming up. And she is an amazingly gifted, talented person.
Yeah. She's the reason we have a vision for 2020.
That's right.
She helped us, kind of facilitated that process for us.
That's right. And then the other person that we've hired is Ricardo Harris.
Right.
Adam was speaking about earlier, but didn't say his name, but I think we can say it.
Okay, good. Yeah.
We haven't signed the contract
yet. Just hired him.
That's right. But yeah, Ricardo Harris, who is a leader in the Wichita community.
Right.
Such a gifted speaker. And like you said, charismatic and courageous person.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to know him over the last year and a half. And every time we meet, we're like, yes, this is such a great meeting. And
I mean, that's what's so exciting about going to the kind of next level as a nonprofit is the team is so good.
Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like we can accomplish these things because we are more than just Matt and I behind some microphones now. We made a list of like everybody's like roles in the nonprofit, and we unintentionally left our own names off of the list. And we're like, oh yeah, what do we do? I don't know.
Is there a job description for goofball? Because I think that's what I got.
But that's, you know, when we scale up like that, it does mean that there's increase in overhead, increase in need to generate income, all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so for you, the listener, we've always said what we want you to do most is go and meet your neighbor. And that's still true.
Yes. Go and do that.
Go do that. If you can't do anything else, go do that.
Yeah.
And if you want to help out with the neighboring movement, there's some ways you could do that. You could go to neighboringmovement.org/donate, and that's, you can right there become a supporter of this podcast and the larger movement. We do have some financial goals that are a little bigger next year than we ever have, which is, you know, one obstacle, but it's not something we're afraid of at this moment. Come back in like 8 months and we'll see.
Yes.
But also, that's just one place that you could help. You could help by inviting us to be a speaker in your church or in your organization or whatever you're doing.
That's right.
By sharing this podcast, by doing, you know, neighboring tips with a community that you work with. All of those things would be helpful.
That's right. We can come and do a workshop.
Yeah.
We could do a keynote address, anything along those lines, we're happy to do.
Yeah.
Because now we want to get out there and spread the message.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, I want to say, because a lot of our listeners are already supporting our work.
Yeah.
So thank you.
For sure.
Because it's astonishing to me, 4.5 years in, we're still going.
I know.
And it's because people have believed in this work and have invested in this work.
It's crazy.
So thank you for your support. If you want to increase that support, or if you want to start supporting us, we would be tremendously grateful. And just know that what you're supporting are these initiatives like in our neighborhood, the 8 Front Door Project, and on a national level, getting out there and changing the culture in a way, changing a culture for the good.
Yeah. Yeah. And bringing wholeness to people through the practice of neighboring.
Yes.
So,
which, man, don't we need more of that?
God. I mean, that sounds so great.
It does.
Bringing wholeness through the practice of neighboring, the neighboring movement. Coming to a location near you.
So this, now your morning voice is helping you right now.
That's, that's right.
There's some gravitas to your bringing wholeness. Yeah. So, wow. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, for joining us on the front porch for this episode of The Neighbor Next Door. As always, our post-production work has been done by Vistifer.
Christopher Swanson, that's our AmeriCorps Vista.
Who does great work. And the music that you hear in the background has been created by Brutal Bear.
The best average folk band in Wichita, Kansas.
That's right.
Can't find another one.
Can't find another one, yes. And yeah, until next time, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.